Again, we call your attention to the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 24th chapter. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3 and 36 through 42. Supporting scripture come from 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 18. Bible reads in the 24th chapter of Matthew. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Jesus said unto them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" Verse 36. "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the meal, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left." 1 Thessalonians 16. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Two women shall be grinding at the meal, the one shall be taken, and the other left." On the basis of those verses, we like to use the thought of subject this morning. If you don't get right, you will get left. If you don't get right, you will get left. Amen, amen. Woke us all up this morning. Started us all on our way. The Lord God is blessing us right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah to the name Jesus. I'm inclined to give y'all a speeding ticket for that song. That's one time I'm glad I wasn't singing with the choir. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now, they got on out the way. Yes, sir. The Lord is blessing them, and they are blessing us. We all come to give God glory and praise. Anybody just happy about Jesus this morning? There's so much going on in the world. You ought to just be happy about something. If you can't be happy about nothing else, you ought to be happy about the Lord this morning. Somebody ought to give him a hallelujah praise this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, God. Hallelujah to the name Jesus. The Lord truly is blessing us in this house this morning. And we thank God for the presence of his Holy Spirit, because we expect that Spirit to be here. And we are looking for the Lord God to touch our hearts and our minds and to just help us to be a better person. And so we are thankful to God, because we know that it's not by any of our merits or any of the things that we've done, but it's by God's grace and his love that he have allowed us to come and share the love of Jesus one with another. As we worship and praise God and just thank him, for truly he is a good God. The Lord God deserves our praise and thanksgiving, and we just need to give God glory while we have a chance. As we approach this Thanksgiving holiday, as you plan your menu and you decide where you're going to gather, then you got to be mindful of the fact that every day should be a day of thanksgiving. Even on our bad days, we ought to be able to find something to be thankful for. And we pray to our God. God gave us a prayer and taught us how to pray. And he said, give us this day our daily bread. So every day when God gives us our provisions, we ought to tell God, thank you. We need to know that he makes everything possible, and it's because of him that we are able to do a lot of the things that we are able to do. And there are times that God blesses us in what we call a mysterious way, which in reality is his way of letting us know that regardless of what it looks like to you, he is the one that has did the work. He is the one that has blessed you. He is the one that has delivered you. He is the one that keeps you. Even in times when you just don't know what to do, God is still always there. I was blessed on last Tuesday to fellowship with our Southside Senior Citizens Group. Had my first Thanksgiving dinner of the year with all of the trimmings. And I thank God for the senior citizens. Senior citizens really know how to get in the kitchen and throw some things together on a Thursday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And you can have a little bit of everything that you can think of. And they got a chance to eat before I got to speak, and that was a no-no. But nonetheless, we thank God, and I thank God for that particular group, because we need to have people that are still keeping things knitted together and keeping our community together. And I looked around in the room on Tuesday. We had representation from all of the churches, our city churches, our rural churches. And so that lets us know that we have a connection. And it's good to have a connection. It is good. You know, sometimes people look to live in large cities because you want a whole lot to do. And then people sort of shun away from the smaller cities like Lexington because there's nothing to do. But one thing we found out, that we got a lot of love in our city. We got a lot of concern. And so when you don't have a lot of other things to do, then you can take time out for one another. You can take time out with your friends. You can take time out with your family. And most of all, you need to take time out for God. We got to understand that it's our responsibility to be about our Father's business. Today we are here because God has blessed us to see another day. We would not even be able to move if it had not been for the Lord our God. And we got to understand this morning that if we say that we got faith in God, then I know that because God is who he is, no matter where you might be in life right now, there is a better day coming. And as we anticipate and look forward to spending eternal life with Jesus, our Savior, we must understand that flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So there has to be a transformation of the mortal body. And on this side, there should be a transformation of the inner being. Because even on this side of life, Lord Jesus, I just saw Miss Mary. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not you, Mary Walsh, the other Mary Riggs. Hallelujah. Sometimes we get so excited and we miss some of our blessings. And I thank God that God has a healing hand and is able to allow an individual to get back up on their feet and to be back in the house of God. And I get excited about that. I don't know about you, but I couldn't heal her, but I could go see her, but I couldn't heal her. But she know a God that is able to touch her body to heal her. And I believe she's in the house this morning just to tell God thank you. Anybody else come to tell God thank you? You see how much joy it gets you when you realize that God is still working, prayer still works, and all you got to do is just trust and wait on God. I thank God for his goodness and all of his mercy. What would we do if it wasn't for the Lord our God? We thank God. We thank God because when we make that inner transformation, we find out that we are a new creature and our mindset has changed and we have a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone. We thank God that our hearts ought to be filled with the love of Jesus. And if we want to be obedient to the word of God, then we should know that it is God's desire that all of us be saved. He said that I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So that lets us know that God wants us to be blessed. God blesses us and he continues to do things that needs to be done in our lives. But he also warns us that in this life, we shall have trials as well as tribulations. But then it closes that verse out and said, be of good cheer, for I have already overcome the world. So anything you're faced with, God is able to help see you through it. You just got to learn how to trust God. You know, we say we trust God, but I find that we have become too relaxed and laid back in our zeal and our joy of praising God and allowing God to speak to our hearts. We fall short in our commitment and service. Just because some of the things you used to do, we still need you to do some of those things now. You're never too old to praise God. You're never too young to praise God, because somebody needs to plant a seed in you to let you know who God really is. And we look around in this vineyard right here in Fowles Chapel, there's enough work right here to keep all of us busy. When we come, there should be a desire to grow and to get closer to our God. We ought to try to find something about Jesus and his promises to make us feel a need to please him. Every one of us in here need to please our God. Because if it wasn't for God, where would you be this morning? It's time for this generation to take on the reins of carrying the church and allowing our elders to rest and breeze through doing whatever they feel like they want to do when they feel like they can do it. I'm talking to the baby boomers in here right now. It's time for us to step up and get across the board in service and make sacrifices and take care of the finances of the Church of God, so the foundation of the Fowles Chapel Baptist Church can continue to be built upon. We thank God for this great institution, and we thank God for our ancestors that have did a mighty good work, but it's our time to do our work. We got to understand that we can't continue to sit around, and on one day you want to be grown, on the next day you want to be still considered too young. But I want to let you know this morning that it's time for us to recognize that it's time for us to be about our Father's business. It's time for us to do our part and to help out, to leave our generations that's coming behind us something that they can say they saw us do. We are looking at what we can say we saw them do, but what have we done? What are we doing to contribute to the ministry, to contribute to the house of God? And it need to be more than just coming to the house of God. We need to start talking to our family members and getting our family members that have gotten slack to come on to the house of God. We need to start talking to those ones that somebody has done teed them off for some reason or another, and let them know that God is a forgiving God, and extend a hand and let them know that I don't care what you may think about you, but you are somebody and you are welcome in the house of God. We got to understand that it's more than just coming and going through the motions. We got to do the whole nine yards. We got to praise him with everything we got, and we got to learn how to make sacrifices unto the Lord. When you make a sacrifice unto the Lord, you got to understand that sometimes you don't see the benefit from it right then, but if you just hold on, you will see what God will do. When you bless others, God will bless you. When you do what the Lord God wants you to do, then you will find out that God will continue to do the things that need to be done in your life. As we look and we look around here in our community, the death train has been steady running and stopping right here in Lexington. Amen. Sickness and despair seems to be all over not only the community, but the city, the state, and the nation. People are killing people in all walks of life. Terrorist threats are still on the rise. Crime, hate, and heartache are still a part of our everyday existence. Time seems to go from bad to worse. By talking to anybody in here, seems like as soon as you get one thing worked out, you got another thing on your plate. If it's not the enemy attacking your body, he's attacking something in the household. If he's not attacking the household, he's attacking some of your family members. Always doing something to make you go down on bended knees. But how many of you know that you can go to God in prayer and know that when you go to the Lord God, he will answer and he will come through? Anybody in here just tried Jesus? Realize that I can pray for my brother, my sister, and I don't have to lay a hand on him or her. All I got to do is call on the name of the Lord, and the Lord can go 15,000 miles away and touch my loved one and let him know that everything is going to be all right. I don't know about you, but I kind of feel like preaching this morning, because the Lord God has been too good to me. God has brought us a mighty long way, and we got to understand that we got to get out of this sickness that we have, that we are holding ourselves down with petty indifferences. Look around. You look around. Your suicide is on the rise. Murder is on the rise. Homelessness and poverty is plaguing the people of God. Every day, somebody right here under our noses, as much as we eat and throw away, there are children right here in Davidson County going to bed hungry or either don't have a bed to lay their heads on. So if you got a bed to lay in, you got a lot to be thankful for. You better learn how to count your blessings. Songwriters say, name them one by one. And as you begin to count those blessings, there ought to be a stopping point somewhere where you take a pause break just to give God thanks. Anybody ever realize that every now and again, you ought to be able to praise God when you're not in the sight of all of these witnesses? Is there anybody that know how to praise God all by yourself? Is there anybody that know how to praise God in the comforts of your home? Is there anybody in this house this morning that when you're riding along in your automobile and the Spirit of the Almighty God begin to resonate and work on the inside of you, you find yourself throwing your hand up and saying, oh Lord, I just want to thank you. Is there anybody in here this morning that realized that you didn't get up on your own accord, but God had a finger of love early this morning and touched your feeble body and got you up one more time, and you too mean to tell God thank you? Something is wrong with that picture. The enemy is causing havoc all over the land. We got to learn how to trust God. We got to be watchful. We got to be constantly praying. We know that it's a known fact that all have sinned and come short of God's glory. The Bible teaches us that there is none perfect, no, not one. So at some point in our lives, we must make some changes. If there is anybody in here today that have not accepted Christ as your Savior by confession and belief, today is a good day to make things right. Know that all unrighteousness is sin. The Bible declared the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Now, if you want eternal life, you got to be born again. You got to be watching and praying and trusting the power of a loving God. If you're watching and listening, then you should know that the Bible is fulfilling itself right before eyes. We began to think about why things are like they are. The reason why is because we are getting close to the end of this old world. So many things are going on in our lives. And we look here in the Word of God. The Bible declares that Jesus told the people of God as he departed out of the temple, and he shared with the disciples that the building, the temple that they were praising him in, that building was going to fall rock by rock, every stone was going to be thrown down. Now, you have to go into the biblical history of that and realize that you are talking about an immaculate building that is full of glamour and something that everybody would be proud to say that that's my church. But the Lord God is letting us know through the Word of God this morning that that church, this church, is not going to be able to stand when the end comes. And as he sat there on the Mount of Olives, the Bible declared that the disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us, what and when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of the coming of the end of the world? So the disciples realized that Jesus has made a statement that we don't quite understand, and I need an understanding, but there are times when you can't talk to God in the presence of everybody else. There are times when you got to steal away and you got to get in your private place that you can talk to God so that you will be able to hear what God is saying. Now, God, Jesus says unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. We're talking about the end. We're closer to it than we think. Reason I say that, we see it happening right before our eyes. For many shall come in my name, saying I am Christ, and shall deceive many. We shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. All you got to do is look at the news. There's a war going on right now. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So I said that it's coming soon, and we're getting closer, and there's a war going on, but it's not quite time just yet. Nation should rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there should be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. Places that used to didn't have earthquakes gonna learn what an earthquake really is all about. God's going to turn some things around. Hadn't you noticed how it used to be that all the storms was out on the ocean, but now it seems like most of the storms always come inland? And so God is trying to get our attention and let us know that he is a God of all power, and God can do anything that he wants to do. Jesus says all these are the beginning of sorrow. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Anybody got any of those so-called friends that because you let them go for Jesus, they don't have anything to do with you anymore? You know how it is. As long as you hanging with them and you doing the dirt they doing, you all right with them. But when you realize that I need to make some changes in my life, I need to get myself together. I need to get my life in order. I need to get my house in order, because I realize that I'm not here to stay. Anybody know that you didn't come to stay always? Anybody know you're going to have to leave this place one day? The Bible declares that many shall be offended and many shall betray one another. Many shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Because of the iniquity that shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And you wonder why love is not what love used to be. Love hadn't changed. You changed love. God commands us to love one another. And yet, we find it easier to be at odds with one another. God wants us to be peacemakers and to try to the best of our ability to get along with one another. But we allow the enemy to mess in our minds and to get us all confused. And a lot of times we got to let go of some stuff that don't really matter. Because Jesus said, he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. So if you're going to be anything that the Lord God wants you to be, you got to trust God with everything that you got. You got to know this morning that as we began to do the thing that God wants us to do, and if we are watching and we are praying that the Lord God will have dominion and he would have control over our lives, we got to understand that the verses that we just read, the old saints used to say that I see the signs of the judgment. Anybody notice the signs? See, you got to know the word to know the signs. And if you don't know the word, I'm introducing you to that word right now. That word began to tell you that there are going to be a lot of things going on. And we see that a lot of things are going on already. But when we move on to the 36th verse, it said that we need to be continually watching and looking out for the coming of our Lord. Gives us a reference about the day that the Lord God told Noah that he was going to let it rain for 40 days and for 40 nights. And many of the people of God thought that Noah was a crazy man. But I come to tell whoever God is speaking to this morning, when God tell you to stand still, stand still. When God tell you to move, move. When God tell you to cut loose from somebody, cut loose. When God tell you that it's not your time just yet, know that it's not your time. But when God say what I got for you is for you. When God said that no weapon formed against you will be able to prosper, then you got to trust God with everything that you got. Because if you know the story of Noah, those doubters and those unbelievers got left behind.
For only one got on the boat with Noah was his own family, and they had to do what the Lord God had told Noah to do. So I just stopped by to tell somebody this morning that there's going to be another change coming in your life. You got to get your house in order. You better get ready for the coming of the Lord. For the same way that they were doing in the days of Noah, people are drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. People are doing any and everything that they want to do. People have even changed what marriage is supposed to be all about. The Lord God said, one man, one woman shall become one flesh. He didn't say two men would be able to get married and stand before him and please him. So you got to understand that we are living in some very crucial times. And I just stopped by to tell somebody that if you don't get it right, you're going to get left. You better trust the power of a loving God. Can't nobody get you right but you. You got to trust God with all of your heart. You got to know that the Lord God is right there by your side. Well, after the tribulation period, there's going to come the time of the rapture. And when you get to the time of the rapture, the Bible declares that there should be two in the field. One shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken, and the other shall be left. I want to know, are you going to be one of the ones that's going to be able to go back to be with the Lord? Is there anybody in the house that love God with all of your heart? I just stopped by to tell somebody that the Lord God wants somebody. That I say, for God I'll live, and for the Lord God I'll die. I know that I got to trust God with all of my heart. And the Bible tells us not to be ignorant, that whenever somebody dies, they are not dead, but they're just asleep, and they're waiting on the coming of a loving God. For the Bible says we believe that Jesus died, rose again on the third day. Even though they sleep in God, God will bring with him. I serve a loving God that will never leave me all by myself. God has been right there by my side. Is there anybody in the house that know the Lord God is on your side? I want to tell you this morning, for those that live of the Lord our God, if you be alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, you will not prevent those that have already gone to sleep. For the Bible says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then the Bible declares, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Is there anybody ready to be caught up with the Lord? No man knows the day nor the hour, but you gotta know that the Lord God is coming soon. You better know that you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You just one step closer to your last day. But I found out that my last day will not be my last day. For if I die right now, I'm going to lay there and wait on the Lord. And when the Lord found the trumpet and the trumpet began to sound, I'm going to get up out of my grave. But if I'm left here alone with the living and the Lord God comes this afternoon, I hope that the Lord God take me and don't leave me. Is there anybody in the house that want to be the one taken and not the one that's left? I just stopped by to tell somebody that if you don't want to be left behind, you better get it right. Get it right right now. If you don't get it right, you will get left. I heard that the Bible said that on the day of separation, he's going to put the goats on the left and the sheep on the right. I don't want to be on the left, whether it's on the left side of Jesus. I don't want to be left down here. But if by chance I get left while I'm down here going through that tribulation period, let me hear what thus said the Lord. Let me get my house in order. Let me get things right with God. So when the Lord God gets ready to make that trumpet sound and call everybody up to meet him, and we all get caught up to meet him in the air, I want to have wings of a dove. I want to fly away. I want to hear my Lord say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So is there anybody in the house that love God with all of your heart? Is there anybody in the house that got joy down in your soul. I just somebody tell somebody that if you don't get right, you will, you will, you will get left. And when you get left, Kay can't help you. Richard can't help you. Daisy can't help you. She can't help you. Can't nobody help you but Jesus the Christ. And I heard the Lord God say, if you love me with all of your heart, open up your mouth, confess your fault, believe in your heart that God that sits high and he looked down low. Is there anybody here? Hallelujah, Jesus. I thank God. I thank God. I know where my strength comes from. Because every now and again, you get laid on a bed of affliction. But I look up to the hill from which coming my help. My help come from the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth. And my God told me one day that everything was going to be all right. I trust God with all of my heart. I heard the Lord God say, tell the people of God, comfort ye one another with these words, that if you don't get right, you will get left. But if you get left, I just want to let you know, you still got a chance, but you better try to get it right. But why not get it right now? So that when the Lord God comes and he reaches down and snatches one, then you want to be the one that snatched up. And you look around and say, where did Cain go? He was standing there preaching one minute. All of a sudden, he just disappeared. I've been caught up to meet him in the air. If you don't get right, if you don't get right, if you don't get right, somebody said, you can't tell me what to do. I'll do what I want to do. Somebody said, I'm grown and I can do where I want to go. But I come by to tell somebody that you've been bought with a price. You don't belong to yourself. And you owe God something. And Daniel David said, what shall I render unto my God for all that he's done for me? I'm going to give him my all in all. What Jesus said through the words of Paul, to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God loves us so much that he even knows that there are times you don't give him your all in all. But if you just give him a reasonable portion of service, devotion, love, and commitment, then God will answer your prayer and God will be right there for you. Because look at this. Look at how many times he answered your prayer when you were nothing but a wretch undone. Look at how many times he brought you over when you were doing your own thing. And somebody said, I was lucky, but I come to tell you, baby, you're not lucky. You blessed. Blessed by the best. And if you've been blessed by the best, there's something down on the inside ought to make you move on the outside. And you ought not be sitting around in God's house looking like God owed you something. But you ought to get up off your butt and give God a hallelujah praise. And thank my God that if it had not been for the Lord on our side, we'd all be lost. If you don't get right, you will get left. Woo!